A longish time ago, in a studio far, far away, the planet Tatooine was invented by George Lucas and his team for the Star Wars series of movies.
The desert world was the home of Luke Skywalker, the base of Jabba the Hutt, and now it's taking on a new role, that of a science lesson.
Scientists and science raiders are taking part in an online Tatooine Science Carnival, applying the lessons of biology, climatology, and more to the fictional planet. Matt Shipman was with us now. He's a science writer and a public information officer at North Carolina State University. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So why, Matt, are real-world scientists and science writers doing papers on a made-up planet?
Well, it started with a question that I asked myself as a geek, thinking about Star Wars. If Tatooine is a desert planet, why are all the animals that we see from Tatooine enormous, right? So I took my question to Twitter, which is where one takes unanswerable questions, I guess. And the response was great. There were a lot of science and science fiction fans out there who all had their own takes on it. And I thought, wow, this is something we could tap into to get people excited about science.
Well, here's a clip of one of the author's quotes from a Tatooine native, Luke Skywalker. Let's give a quick listen.
Well, if there's a bright center to the universe, you're on the planet that it's farthest from.
So it's the farthest from the bright center of the universe. But when you put the word out, a lot of scientists were excited about this.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that, if you look at today's Google Doodle about the Venn diagram, I think if you did a Venn diagram of scientists and science fiction fans, there would be an enormous amount of overlap. And so getting people, encouraging people to talk about what they know best, science, while talking about something that they really love, Star Wars, it engendered a great deal of enthusiasm.
Before we get into what the scientists wrote about, is this just an exercise of smarter than thou, making fun of this goofy movie for what it gets wrong when it comes to science?
Absolutely not. Everybody who did this, we're all Star Wars fans, and we're not doing this to puncture the extensive mythology that George Lucas has created and that other creative types have built on. Instead, we're simply doing something where we thought it would be a lot of fun. We thought it was something that would get people's attention, and I think if we're doing anything, we're sort of celebrating Star Wars. Rather than denigrating Star Wars or trying to nitpick Star Wars.
Well, I know some of the people who took up this challenge were interested in the same question you mentioned earlier. Why does this desert planet have creatures that are so big? What is some of the science that they applied to it, either to explain that or to explain why it probably wouldn't work that way?
Well, that's really interesting. So I'm glad you asked that question. So really, two of the people who wrote, and there were seven people in addition to myself who wrote, tackled that very question. And one of them, by Maggie Korth, who is the science editor at Boing Boing, she talked about why it would be unlikely. So if there was any post that was kind of naysaying, that would be the one. But it's a very thoughtful post about the ecological drivers that are in play and why it would be really difficult for incredibly large animals to evolve to thrive in the desert.
So the idea is that deserts don't have much plant life, so no big herbivores to eat that and nothing to feed the big predators, right?
Right. So if you look at, when I was a kid, it was the food chain. Now we call it the food web, right? But where would all of the energy come from? The plant life that would feed herbivores, which would then feed larger predators and so on. So how would that happen? So she talks about that. But the one that I really loved, and I liked Maggie's as well, but the one that I really loved was by a shark biologist based out of the University of Miami named David Schiffman. And sharks are apex predators, right? They're at the top of the food chain. So he spends a lot of time thinking about that. And he wrote this post explaining that one reason that you would see these enormous animals in a desert environment is that it was not always a desert environment. So you would see banthas, which are the big, shaggy herbivores that the sand people ride on in the movies. So these existed before it was a desert planet when there was lots of plant life for them to eat. But their numbers were kept in check by an apex predator species, which were called crate dragons. And they're referenced in the movies, and you actually see a crate dragon skeleton in the very first movie. Episode 4, first chronologically. But you never see them in motion. And so the theory that David put forward was that when Tatooine was colonized, the settlers killed off most or all of the crate dragons. And with those apex predators taken out of the equation, the population of banthas, the large herbivores, plant eaters, just grew out of control. And essentially, they consumed so much vegetation that that sort of sped up this desert of, there's a way of pronouncing desertification process, and it turned a lush green planet into a barren sandy one.
So this is a science fiction example. I imagine there are real world analogs. This came from a shark researcher, for example. Have we seen similar stories with shark populations around the world?
Well, I can't speak to shark populations per se, but, you know, for example, when predator species, my understanding is that when predator species are removed, so for example, when wolves or mountain lions and so forth in the American West, were those population numbers were driven down, you saw a huge increase in the population of deer and elk and other herbivores because there's nothing keeping them in check. And I know, for example, in, you know, on the East Coast, there's been an explosion of the deer population over the years because they don't really have any natural predators anymore other than humans.
And then another paper in the series, or at least one, gets into, I think it's the Intergalactic Council on Climate Change. What can we learn about climate change from looking at the story of Tatooine?
That's a really interesting one. So David Ng, who wrote it, is actually a molecular biologist. He's based out of the University of British Columbia, but he is maybe the biggest Star Wars fan I've ever met. And so what he was trying to do here, more than anything, I think, was essentially just to get people interested on the real Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which has written extensively and issues reports periodically about the status of global climate change on planet Earth, and to get people who wouldn't normally be interested in that report to pay attention, he created the Tatooine Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. And so what he pulled together is really sort of a comprehensive and kind of elaborate teaching prop to get people to pay attention, including some pretty spectacular graphics. But what it is it essentially uses Tatooine as a fictional proxy to walk people through the issues that are related to climate change, such as when the climate change impacts will have an impact on life.
Briefly, Matt, before we're done, what's the response been like from the public and your colleagues on this?
The response has been overwhelmingly positive. When I first told some of my colleagues that we were planning to do this, there were some chuckles. But more than anything, they thought that it was really neat as well. I was actually expecting more skepticism than I got. And this was something which garnered an really surprising. I was surprised at the amount of attention that it got. It ended up being featured in The Guardian out of London, in Wired, and even the National Science Foundation put it on their daily news site, Science 360, which was a pleasant surprise to see.
All right, Matt, thanks a lot for joining us today.
All right, thanks for having me.
That was Matt Shipman talking about the Tatooine Science Carnival.